It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Shapp, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Shapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. The Arkansas State Golf Association hosted their state amateur over the weekend at Jonesboro Country Club. Kyle Robinson of Springdale wins his first state am with scores of 69, 67, 70, 7 under par for him. Stephen Cox of Jonesboro finished second. Rhett South of Fayetteville finished third. Trent Jones of Jonesboro finished fourth. And there was a three-way tie for fifth. Mitchell Ford, Ben Sherman, and Josh McNulty all finished tied for fifth. On the women's side, Madison Holmes wins her second state am, 72, 74, 74, her three rounds. That's plus seven for the 3 days of work for her. Maggie Hewitt of Hot Springs finished second, and Emerson Doyle of Cabot finished third. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, back in March, I went to Scotland, and I sat down with Stuart McComb, the general manager of Cabot Highlands. Cabot Highlands is just outside the town of Inverness on a beautiful piece of land overlooking the Muddy Firth. I really think you're going to enjoy my interview with Stuart, and he gives you some insight into the future of Cabot Highlands and how you can play the course as well. That's all coming up. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you check out Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, bphotels.com on the web. We're back with Stuart McComb after this.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. When I booked my trip to Scotland to sit down with Peter Dawson, the former secretary and chief executive officer of the RNA, I also wanted to bring you interviews with people from places that you could go play. One of those is Cabot Highlands, just east of the town of Inverness, Scotland. Stuart McComb, the general manager of Cabot Highlands, had time for me just before they opened up at the 1st of April. I really think you're going to enjoy my interview with Stuart. And if you are making a trip to Scotland anytime in the future, make sure you put Cabot Highlands on your list of places to go play. On the tee, Stuart McComb. Stuart McComb, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass here at Cabot Highlands. What a magnificent piece of property you have for a golf course here.
Sure, yeah. This is, that's been quite the journey for us. We started here in 2006. We were fresh off of a 7-8 year run at King's Barnes, building that from scratch, getting that into the Dunhill, and, 5 years of that. And then we came up here, and Mark Parson and myself, we decided that we wanted to go again. Mm-hmm. And he most specifically wanted to go again, and he'd found this property, and here we are. So sadly, Mark Parsonen passed away in 2019. Great loss, very suddenly, and it was a big shock to us all. But he'll be delighted with the way this is panning out with Cabot Islands, Cabot Group coming in. The acquisition has been incredible, and you know, same ethos, I think. You know, Mark's ethos and Ben's ethos seem to be very, very similar, and it's kind of been a hand in glove situation, really. It's been a very seamless transition, to be honest.
Golf in Scotland has a rich and vast history. Golf up this north in Scotland, does it have the same history as a little bit further south? Because we're pretty far north up here, just out east of Inverness.
Dornoch, I think it was 2 years ago, celebrated 400 years of golf. So that's enough history, I think.
Yeah, I would say so.
And there's lots of Centurion courses up here. I'm a member at one over at Nairn Golf Club, which is a particular favourite of mine. 1887, it was in play. So, yeah, I don't think there's any shortage of history here. When you look at some of the classics and the hidden gems, whatever you want to call the other courses in the area, you've got the Fortrose and Rose Market that we're looking over just now. You see the lighthouse just shining there in the Firth. That's a beautiful classic course. Further up, you've got Tain and Golspie and Brora, another, you know, really famous hidden gem further up. And along the coast here, we've got Murray Golf Club and, you know, Spey Bay, and you've got Hopeman. You know, it's just Cullen. You've got incredible amounts through there. You've got Inverness Golf Club further west. You've got Muirvord. It's a rich haven of old golf courses that have been around for a long, long time. And golf, not just in these parts, but in the whole of Scotland, has been ingrained in society. You know, you grow up with it.
I think for people that come from the States, if they can find a particular base to play out of while they're over in Scotland, say like Inverness or even a St. Andrews or even in Edinburgh, somewhere to play out of, because there are so many golf courses around, even Glasgow, if you wanted to,
yeah,
that there are so many golf courses that you can get to within a day, play your 18, go back, have your nightlife, whatever. With the vast number of courses around, does it make it difficult when you guys are trying to sell your product, if you will?
There has definitely been a challenge, shall we say, with that. There's no secret of the fact that that King's Barnes, when we left there, was flying high. You know, the amount of visitors to St. Andrews is huge. Mark always said, you know, the old course was like the anchor tenant in the Mall, you know. And as long as you build something in the Mall that's worthy, then they're already there, they're already shopping, they're going to come. And so King's Barnes was a huge success. Brilliant golf course in a brilliant location, with a huge amount of influx of touring visitors. So yeah, the Highlands has been that little bit north. It's 3 hours north. It's not been on the top of people's lists, but I think slowly but surely, I think Castle Stewart coming in. I think we opened in 2009. Right after the Lehman Brothers crashed and everything, so it was a hard time for the business, but slowly but surely we got into a cooperative with Nairn and with Royal Dornoch and a few of the local hoteliers, and we put together a kind of marketing venture and trying to really raise the profile of the Highlands for golfers, and that's been very successful, and we've worked together. And it's been a great collaboration, if you like. And that collaborative has really paid dividends for us. And slowly but surely, numbers are coming more and more and more. I think Dornoch now, it's a top 10 in the world in a lot of people's eyes, or a lot of people's lists. And that in its own right is a huge draw for the Highlands. And so Nairn and ourselves and others, do feed off that. In our own right, we're a top 100 in the world golf course. We've got, you know, 4 Scottish Opens with some great winners. Luke Donald, Phil Mickelson, you've got Jeeve Milka Singh, who beat Francesco Molinari in a playoff, you know, and Alex Noren. So, you know, we've got pedigree, and there's a reason why people, you know, want to come to play us as well. So there's more and more reason to come north, and I think, as we'll probably come on to, the new Doak course is certainly going to fit into that realm, and help to build and continue to build the progress that we're gaining in the Highlands in terms of golfers and momentum and volume of golfers coming to these parts. Because I think once you're here, you get sold pretty easily.
It's tough for me to describe what I'm seeing sitting here with you inside this magnificent clubhouse. You look out over the muddy Firth, and I see the bridge back in the town of Inverness, and then this magnificent piece of property that it's not flat. I mean, it's hilly.
Oh yeah, and I think Mark, he always chose sites or tried to choose sites that had topography change, because he was all about the sea views. And, you know, King's Barnes, that double tier, it's the same here. You know, you probably don't appreciate it, Trey, but we're on this top bluff, but down on the shore, we've got six holes that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're looking at 18 and 9. So we've got 9 here. We've got 18 behind you. But down on the shore, we've got six holes. We've got 10, 11, 12 going east, and we've got 1, 2, 3 going west. So, you know, it's all about, you know, being perched. And I think it was Rod Whitten that came very early on, and he said, you know, finally a developer's decided to build a clubhouse near to the shore. Typically what happens in these situations is the clubhouse is further back for car parking and everything else, and you kind of wander your way down to the sea, and then you come back up. But here we go along the shore, you know, and that was Mark's great thing, was to compress everything onto the shore and try to get really everybody's attention to what they're coming for, which is the views, the vista, back it up with great golf and great service, and it's a winning formula.
The Cabot name.
Yep.
I need to say this too, because people listening in Arkansas, there's a Cabot, Arkansas, a town called
right?
Cabot, which is about 30 minutes maybe or less north of Little Rock. It looks nothing like this.
Yeah.
I can tell you, it looks nothing like this, Stuart.
Yeah.
But the views here, I'm awestruck at it, just to say. But the Cabot name is becoming more synonymous with golf, with where they are placing their courses.
Oh, for sure. I think Ben has, the mantra, the mission, you know, create magical places where remarkable memories are made. And they are intent on building a portfolio, worldwide portfolio, global portfolio of world-class golf resorts. That is their mission. And so, you know, there's no secret that Ben scouts the world, you know. I mean, very regularly gets, you know, asked to go and see this property here and that property there. And so, you know, at the moment we've got 5, and it all started in Inverness, Nova Scotia. New Scotland, over in Canada, and to be, you know, having a second acquisition in Inverness, Scotland, old Scotland, you know, was quite the thing, you know. And I think the Citrus Farms in Tampa, there's an Inverness very close to that as well. So it's been a weird journey in that way as well. So they, and of course you'll have seen no doubt the since the PGA Show and that sort of opening, that sort of preview golf that they're performing over there at the moment is off the charts. People are just so thrilled with what they're seeing there, and there's more to come. You know, obviously there's the second course still to open, and the clubhouse to build, and the lodges and everything else as well. But I had a great time there, just taking some guests for the day when we were over for the PGA Show. So it's an incredible property, and I think, you know, the brand is a very refreshing brand in golf. I think that's probably part of why they're building in great places, or they're acquiring in great places. St. Lucia is off the charts. I haven't been yet, but that's on the bucket list.
Has to be.
But everything I hear and see from our executive leadership team to the people on the ground, people that have played it, wow, that is really special. And of course, up in the mountains in British Columbia, Revelstoke is about to begin its journey, and you know, I think it's the best skiing in Canada, I believe, or certainly heli skiing, and you know, again, it's just taking people to places that isn't just golf. We've got golf and whiskey and castles and wonderful views up here. You know, I think the brand is all about, you know, it's an experiential, destination. You know, they want to get to not just golf, but other things that they can bolt on to attract the families, you know, and the wider group to come, not just the golfers.
What is the plan here for Cabot Highlands? And for those that want to come and play from the States, you're open April through October. And so you're closed November, December, January, February, March?
Exactly. We are ready for business as usual. The team have done a great job over the winter to get us where we need to be. Despite the challenges of construction, which I'll come on to in development. But that's right. We're open with our golf course 1st of April through the 31st of October. And that's our season. It's a seven month season for us. Is it seven? Yeah, 7 months. November, December, January, February, March. That's right. So 7 months season, and we're open for business. We're a resort golf course. We don't have any members per se. We have some corporate programs and some local stuff going on. But this is a resort course for everybody. And we're at CabotHighlands.com for anybody that's interested. And then the wider sort of situation for us with the acquisition from Cabot is that that we've always seen we had planning permission for 36 holes of golf, along with some form of lodgings and rooms and hotels that is part of a wider planning that we had from way back when. So I think that was part of the attraction for Ben, was he didn't want to take something from scratch. I think, mm-hmm. He wanted to come into Scotland and buy something that was oven ready. So we're already producing cash, and so therefore we have a reputation and a business going forward. So to bolt on and put his stamp, that Cabot stamp, Ben's stamp onto this through the eyes of Tom Doak for the second golf course, which we're thrilled about to have Tom and Clyde Johnson, the lead architect, on site. We expect to have all the 18 holes finished on the second course this year and seeded and grassed, and looking for as early as we can in 25. We want to get some preview golf, and that'll probably be early to midsummer, something like that, depending on the weather and the growing. Sure. And everything else. Alongside that, we have an extended clubhouse that we're about to embark on. So there'll be some more F&B, really, is what we're looking for, because we're also building up to 72 rooms on site. And so all of that's going to be ready for a sort of grand opening in 2026, the spring of. So we've got a half construction year this year in the built environment, and then a full year next year, and get it ready for the 2026 season.
What can you tell me about the course, besides the fact that you have some up and then some down by the water, the holes that is, but kind of the layout and the difficulty of it?
Well, Mark was always one, and with Gil Hance, Mark and Gil were the architects here, the co-designers here, and one of the things we talked about a lot was, we didn't want it to be difficult for the sake of being difficult. The game's difficult enough, I think, and I think we all reasoned that through. So we sort of limited bunkers, less fairway bunkers, less greenside bunkers. And we talked about asymmetry. We didn't want flanking bunkers, where it's through the eye of a needle, to try and get through, try to offset, to make it asymmetrical, and have people cheat their aim to, get into a sort of a bailout spot, if you like. So the difficulty is definitely out there for the good player, but the challenge with all architects, I think, is how do you make something playable, for challenging the best, but being playable for the rest. That's the holy grail of architecture, and we tried really hard to challenge the best, but also make it be entertaining and engaging, and not ball and pocket, because that's when you disengage your customer, your golfer, that's not great. So you want people enjoying the round, and so ball on the ground, less obstacles and less hazards. So we are flanked by gorse on one side and water on the other on the lower holes, But we've got 60-yard wide fairways at times. So we were cognizant of that. We knew that that was a thing. And so we've tried to make it as wide as possible for people. But it doesn't mean to say that just because you hit that fairway that you're in prime position for the green. It necks down on the greens at times, and you've got to get to the right side of fairways to get the best angle in. So it's all about angles. It's not about bunkers. It's not about deep rough. It's about angles of attack and placing on relatively wide fairways to get the best chance of success.
What's the earliest someone can book for the future? Like, you're talking about 2026, the goal to have the rooms and everything. When can they book for that?
Soon after Christmas, into the new year, next January would be the time for 2026.
We might I can't book my tee time today, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we can certainly take inquiries, and then what we'll do with that inquiry is when we open our tee sheet, we will put it in. So we can take inquiries, if not necessarily, booking it into the system. But, your chances are that you're going to get that time if you put that request in early enough. So the bookings teams have worked well over the years, and they understand that whole dynamic. The Doak course, of course, is just a little bit different in the sense that, we can't really be taking bookings for that next year, not really knowing what it is. And we don't want to disappoint people either.
Sure.
But certainly we can take, inquiries, and we'll certainly deal with those as and when. And we'll be back in touch with people as soon as we know what's going on.
My wife might not like me saying this, but I'm going to say it. Preview. I'm willing to come for the preview of the new 18.
Yep. Well, it's we'd be delighted to have you, and for sure we're going to have. I would think it will be July, August, September of 25 for preview, something like that. So book it in.
I might try that. When did you first pick up a golf club and fall in love with this game?
Well, that's a great question. My father was out of Cooper in Fife. So he was a plus four handicap on the side of the hill at Cooper Golf Club on the nine holes. He was a runner-up in the Scottish Boys. He turned he was Fife Boys champion, and Fife being the area. Fife Boys champion five times in the 50s. Great player, turned professional, was professional down in London at Royal Dulwich in Sydenham, and then decided that in the late 50s it just wasn't a great sort of career, if you like. It wasn't earning too much money at that point. That was pre-Arnie, I think, wasn't it? So Arnie was just coming on the scene. So he moved career, went to Edinburgh to work with British Airways, got into the airline business. And so I was born in Edinburgh, I grew up in Edinburgh, and I played on all the public courses in Edinburgh. I remember at the age of 6 and 7 getting on a bus, with a handful of clubs, in a small pencil bag, and going off to the public courses there. It was great fun. There was pitch and putts as well. So that was my start. And then at 10 years old, I came up here with the family. We relocated to Inverness from Edinburgh. And I joined with my father. We joined at Nairn along the road. So I've been a member pretty much off and on since 1974. We joined in, believe it or not. I know you find that hard to believe, Trey. But 74, I was a member, junior member over at Nairn Golf Club. And I've been playing off between sort of 4 and 7. I've never, my father was a professional. My son's turned pro. He's trying to make his way in the game. Unfortunately, professional golf skipped a generation.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, learning from a professional growing up, I mean, that had to be good. Hey, Dad, I can't figure out my swing. Can you help me?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, that's right. And, we had other professionals at Nairn, and we always remember the late, great Gregor McIntosh, who was a real stickler for the, your head not moving, and he'd plant you almost, on and make sure that head didn't move. So, we had some great great people and great characters growing up. I remember it vividly in those days. A great affinity with the game. I always have had. It hasn't been my area of expertise. I moved out of golf on the sport front and took up snooker instead, which, for those of you who don't know, is a sort of bigger bigger form of pool, but snooker is a hard game as well, and I found that quite tough as well. So, but anyway, I got into golf through actually really started at St Andrews in greenkeeping. I took my career path that way with the late great Walter Woods was a great mentor, and we teamed up again actually when I came back full circle back to do King's Barnes. In construction, he was our agronomist there, and so we met again there, which was wonderful, and it was just a great career path for me to get into greenkeeping and then construction of golf courses in Europe, and then finally coming back home to Scotland to do St Andrews, to do King's Barnes, to do Castle Stewart, and now the Doak Course. It's been a real fun time for me, and evolving in the game and doing something you absolutely love. Not a great exponent of the game, but love the whole aura around it, and the industry and the people. It's a magnificent business to be in.
Favorite golf course you've ever played?
Well, County Down and Cypress Point are definitely up there.
You just recently played Cypress Point.
I did recently play Cypress. It was the most incredible experience. You always go to these places wondering, are they really going to be that good? And it didn't disappoint. And I think the genius of Mackenzie, I thought, was that I couldn't believe that the topographical change, is. I mean, there are big dunes, there are big elevation changes there, but it always seemed to feel that on every tee box, the hole was out in front of you. You were never, never playing up, which I think is genius, As I look back, and it was a subconscious thing for me. It wasn't that I was picking it up, but as I reflected on it, everything was out in front of you. The beauty of the place is undeniable. The drama of, those holes in the water, but you're never far away from the waves. And even when you get up into the forest area, the holes are so good. The bunkering is just... it just sits lovely on the eye. It really does. It's absolutely sensational. So I would say that's really, really far up there. I've got a 60th birthday this year, which my good friend, who's the secretary at the Honorary Company of Edinburgh Golfers at Muirfield, we're going to hopefully take on Augusta this year. So having been there on the ground in 2001 to work on the Masters tournament, never got the chance to play, so I'm hopefully going to get that done, and that will strike off Pine Valley, Augusta, and Cypress, and obviously Dornoch and County Down, that are right up there as well.
Very good places,
unbelievable, very unbelievable. Good places. We're very privileged.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three other golfers you would like to play a round of golf with.
On the spot, well, my father. Was a huge lover of Ben Hogan. So for me, it would be my father, my son, and Ben Hogan.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? Give me that website again for Cabot Highlands.
It's cabothighlands.com.
Easy.
Easy.
Stuart, thank you so much.
Trey, a real pleasure, and welcome to the Highlands.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the real fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, Bogle Park, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with the newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay anywhere in Arkansas, check out bphotels.com first. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
That will do it for this edition of From the Short Grass. Congratulations to Yuka Saso of Japan. She shoots 4 under par to win her second U.S. Women's Open Championship this year at Lancaster Country Club in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hinoko Shinobu finished 2nd at -1. Ali Ewing and Andrea Lee of the United States both shot even par to tied for 3rd. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.